after much judgment, we see this hope. Chapter 11, verse 1. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. There's that word again, the branch. Who is the branch? We already identified. It's Jesus Christ. The branch will come from where? From the stump of Jesse. What is a stump? Well, it's a tree that was cut down. Isaiah is prophesying the end of the Davidic kingdom. There hasn't been a king in Jerusalem for about 2,600 years. So there's a stump, basically. But out of that stump will come this branch, Jesus Christ. He is a descendant, direct descendant of Jesse. And Jesse would be the father of David, whom we know. This is another way of identifying the Messiah when he shows up at the airport. What family he's going to come from. Verse 2, chapter 11, verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. This is similar to Isaiah 42 and 61, which Jesus quoted in Nazareth. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to proclaim liberty to the captives. He quoted from Isaiah and said, this is fulfilled in your presence. And the people said, oh, he's saying he's the Messiah. But this is in our home. And, you know, isn't this Jesus who grew up in this town? We know him. He's a carpenter. They were expecting him to come like this grand king in his first coming, which is not actually the case until his second coming. So they rejected him because he said, I'm the Messiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon him. This anointing, the Spirit upon him, it means Messiah. Anointing in Hebrew is Mashiach. Messiah in English. The Anointed One. So Jesus is identified as the Messiah. And then in verse 3, he's identified as the Judge. Judge Jesus. It says, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees in his eyes, with his eyes, nor decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the bread of his lips he will slay the wicked. In John 5, Jesus said, my judgment is just because I don't judge according to what I hear and see in the world, but according to what my Father shows me. I don't do anything on my own initiative, he says. And this rod coming from his mouth. In the New Testament, it's more a picture of a sword coming from his mouth. And he's ruling with a rod. Revelation 19:15, we see a sword coming from his mouth. It's a pretty scary picture. He's going to strike you with his words like a sword. The word of God is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. It's powerful. I like what Spurgeon said. He said, the word of God is like a lion. If people are attacking the lion, you don't need to defend it. You just need to let it out of its cage. Chapter 11, verse 9. They will neither harm nor destroy on my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, and the waters as the waters cover the sea. This is a prophecy about the future kingdom, when everyone on the earth will know the Lord. It says in Jeremiah 31:34 that we will no longer need to preach. Know the Lord, because everyone will know him. That's going to be when the new covenant is completely worldwide. Everyone will know the Lord. But right now, only those who have entered into the new covenant by faith are part of this new covenant. We know the Lord personally, not just a head knowledge. We know him. And our goal as a church should be to know God and to make him known, that others would know him. Verse 10, it says, in that day, the root of Jesse, which we've already identified, that springs forth from Jesse, he's also the root of Jesse, will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. So again, we see the world will come to Jesus on the throne there in Jerusalem and be taught by him. rallying around him. We don't yet see that happening, do we? That will be an exciting time. Chapter 12. In that day you will say, I will praise you, O Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me. This is the beginning of a song of praise, but I like this verse so much that I put it on the cover here of our bulletin. And I think it has three parts. It basically is the outline of the book. First of all, you were angry with me. That's chapters 1 through 39. Actually, 1 through 35. The wrath and the anger of God. We need to understand, first of all, God is angry with you. It's not just a matter of accepting God. But why should God accept you? We've broken his commands. We deserve to be rejected and condemned. He's angry with us. But then what happens? Your anger is turned away. How was God's anger turned away? Well, the wrath of God was poured out on Jesus Christ at the cross. And then, and you comfort me. Chapter 40 of Isaiah begins, comfort, comfort my people. The New Testament and the gospel brings comfort to those who were previously condemned and under God's wrath. We're now brought into peace with God. We're made right with God. Is that good news or what? That's something to rejoice in. Praise the Lord. How do you feel when your spouse is angry at you? There's no peace inside. When someone's angry at you, you don't like it. Well, what if it's the Lord, though, that's angry at you? You know? There's a division. God says, your sins have separated you from me, that I would not hear your voice. But yet, going back to chapter 1, he says, let us reason together. Come on. Though your sins are as scarlet, I will make them white as snow. The Lord is offering to redeem you from your sins, and it's only possible through this Messiah that God has beforehand told us who he is, that we may recognize him, that we may put our faith in him, because he told us in advance, and he keeps his promises.